Radio Sport.
Well, hello, hello, sports fans. A very good Friday evening to you. Thank you very much for having me on. It's lovely to be in your company once again. How's your week been? Good? I surely hope so, but if not, don't worry. Sit down, relax, put your feet up. I'll take it from here. Coming up on the show for you today, the deadline looms to sign up for one of the biggest golf competitions of the year.
We've looked to try and encourage as many women to play in this event as possible.
I've got some Brazilian jiu-jitsu for you.
But no, I've really enjoyed it. I threw myself into the deep end and I thought, you know what, why not?
And who was crowned champions of the Manx Basketball League season last night? I'll tell you very shortly. You'll have to stick around to find out. All coming up here on Manx Radio, the home of Manx Sport. Thank you very much for having me on this evening. As I said, it's always lovely to be in your company once again. So let's start with basketball, shall we? Cavaliers are champions of the 2020-2021 Manx basketball season. In a battle of the Titans last night, Cavs went head-to-head with Jets in a final that literally had spectators on the edge of their seats from start to finish. It was a real cat-and-mouse game, with neither team able to extend their lead by any more than around 4 goals throughout its entirety. Jets showed immense defensive pressure, switching from man-on marking to zone marking seamlessly and with incredible ease, and winning themselves a number of intercepts and strong rebounds. However, Cavs remained unfazed. They sank a load of three-pointers that took them ahead going into the final quarter. But with mere minutes to go, Jets did manage to claw the game back level. Unfortunately for Jets, their shots just couldn't seem to drop. There were a load of them that seemed to bounce in and then bounce straight back out of the hoop. The frustration was etched on the faces of Jets team, but hats off to them, they still battled until the final whistle. But it was Cavs who marched on cool, calm and collected to eventually be crowned this year's league winners. The final score was Jets 41, Cavs 45. Golf now, and women golfers of all abilities are being called upon to take part in one of the biggest competitions of the year, as I mentioned in the introduction. The Women's Golf Championships are taking place at Mount Murray this month, and you only have until this Sunday, that's the 4th of July, to enter. So it's going to be made up of 2 rounds, one on the 18th of July, the other on the 25th of July, with the top players from each going through to a knockout tournament on the last weekend of July. How many times can you say July in a sentence? Cash prizes will be up for grabs. I had the pleasure of speaking with the chairman of the Isle of Man Golf Union, Gordon Pearman, earlier this week.
We've looked to try and encourage as many women to play in this event as possible. There's a good range of prizes. You don't need to be the top golfer to win any of the prizes. We'll put competitors out in handicap order, so there's no need to worry about the best playing the worst and vice versa, because that can sometimes be intimidating or off-putting.
How are numbers actually looking for this year's championships?
Numbers have been poor for several years now, and we're trying hard to build this up. At the moment, we are still just under 20 that have put their names forward. We can accommodate far more because we've got the golf course on the two afternoons. And depending on how many take part in the qualifiers, it depends on how many, as I said, that we will put forward to the knockout stages. But we have room. It's filling up, but there's always room for more.
And how is the women's golf scene in general? How is it looking in comparison to the number of male participants? Does it feel like a bit of a struggle getting numbers to an equal rate?
It has been, but it's getting much, much better than it was. You may not be aware, golf has boomed in the last couple of years on the island. The lockdown, strangely enough, helped us because there was no better sport for social distancing than golf. Somebody said everybody stands at least 2 metres apart on the tee and they hit the ball and they go all over the golf course. They never get closer than 2 metres again. And that might actually be true. But we had a great rise in numbers. I think we had 10% more players last year than before. That's overall, but there was a greater proportion of women joining up. I know my own golf course, which is Rowney in the south of the island, has been fantastic in terms of new women members. And when it used to be separate between the golf unions, the ladies' golf union, men's golf union, when we brought the two unions together, part of what we wanted to do was to encourage to get a better balance so that we had far more women players. There's a different setup, but different dynamic in terms of who's got the available time for golf. We understand that, but we're trying our best to encourage as many women girls to come and play golf and find the benefits in terms of the social aspect as well as the physical and the health aspects of it.
That's brilliant. That's really good news to hear for the sport. So if anyone, women or girls, like you say, are listening to this and they either want to get involved in golf or they want to get involved in the championships, what would you say is the best way to do either?
The best thing to do is to get onto Isle of Man Golf website and look for the contacts there. Our General Secretary, Andrew Horn, is contactable directly through the website. And he will see where players are local to and what courses there are, and will let anyone know what facilities are available. Some great coaches on the island who will be happy to take on new people. Again, going back to Rowney said a Women into Golf program a couple of years ago. And it's all these things, trying to do it. I mean, it's important that we work as one union together. And I know you've got a male voice here, but your next year's president is Gail Corran, and I have added to the board another woman, Shirley Strathdee, who used to be ladies captain down at Rowney. And so we're trying to get the balance right and trying to move forward. So we're working hard, and it would be good to have the support of the players. This is a great competition to get involved in, and I'm hoping that I'm going to be exceptionally busy because of the numbers.
Excellent. And just finally, Gordon, who are the front runners in the women's comp so far?
Well, we have some great players. I can tell you. I mean, we have the biggest amateur competition for in Britain, not competition but group, which is the men have the Walker Cup and the women have the Curtis Cup. And we have a former Curtis Cup player living on the island, Linda Simpson, whose son is the professional at Castletown. We also have a lot of younger players coming through. I was looking at handicaps, and the second best player by handicap on the island is Anna Dawson, who plays out at Peel. And we have this Dawson group of two sisters and a cousin in Kaylee, Leah, and Anna, and they're great players. Last year's final was between Kaylee and Leah, two cousins head to head, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them fighting their way through. We've got Grisha Jansen, who's come back to play golf as well, which is great to see, so we've got Shirley Price, who will play, who's a past winner as well. So we've got a great lot of very, very good women players, and exciting to watch. Last year's final, you know, we had 200 people watching the final wandering around the golf course at Castletown. It was astonishing. So I'm really hopeful that we'll get something very similar this year.
Chairman of the Isle of Man Golf Union, Gordon Pearman there. And details on how you can get involved can be found at manxradio.com on our sports page.
Manx Radio Sport.
Now, a squad of local Brazilian jiu-jitsuers, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu fighters are gearing up for their first UK competition since the beginning of the pandemic this month. So for those of you who don't know much about the sport, its origins lie in judo and Japanese Jiu-Jitsu. But with the Brazilian version, there's a lot more focus on ground techniques, also known by some as struggle cuddles. So a lot of the emphasis is on self-defense and leverage to use your body against your opponent. Now, it's a fairly male-dominated sport, but the number of women competitors on the island is growing, and that includes Louise Gorn, Catherine Moore and Lucy Southwood. All of them are from the Gracie Barra Club and are travelling to Manchester on the 31st of July to compete in the All Stars tournament. I had a chat with them earlier today.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more men in the sport than women, but it is growing amongst women, isn't it?
Yeah. In terms of our club specifically, we usually have quite an even balance of female and male competitors going across.
Yeah, definitely.
So, that's good. So you think the number of female participants are growing?
Yeah, definitely. Because a lot of the martial arts you see on TV and like UFC are all very male-based, but now you're starting to see people like Fionn Davies coming up in sort of like the big fights that you see are not always male headlines anymore, which has definitely changed it because people are sort of seeing, oh, girls can do it as well. And when we started out, there were only a couple of girls, and now there's quite a few. We've grown massively from word of mouth and people. We've done self-defence seminars, women's only things to get people in and see this isn't just a male sport.
And are you still doing your women only seminars?
They happen sort of every now and then. We'll do like small sort of like sessions. It might be like 6 weeks or it'll be like one day. But we do women's only jiu-jitsu classes on a Friday, which is great for people who are nervous. They maybe don't want to start getting really close and fighting men to start with. So it's to get them in and grow their confidence. And if they want to stick with just ladies only, they've got that opportunity.
Brilliant. And you've got a competition coming up at the end of this month. So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it's, as far as I'm aware, I think it's going to be one of, if not the first competition that they're actually allowed to do in the UK. So we've gone to competitions that are run by this particular organiser before, and they're always really well organised. So it's looking like it's going to be a very popular one. I think there's a lot of people that are itching to get back to competing, which is great. So yeah, we've got a strong competition team. We've got the advantage that having been over here and being able to train with other people, whereas people in the UK haven't been able to do that, we've got that advantage there. Mm-hmm. So I think the guys are feeling really positive about that, and just knowing that they've had that bit more consistency in their training while we've been able to enjoy COVID-free status on the island and
Absolutely.
Things like that.
What are your expectations going in? Because just doing your introductions before, Louise, you only just came into the sport recently. So what are your plans for the 31st of July?
To get points on the board. So we did an in-house competition, which was really good fun. That was the first one that I'd ever done. And yeah, I joined here in February and then we had lockdown. So I was training at home, not quite sure what I was doing. So I kept turning my camera off and Catherine kept telling me to turn it back on. But no, I've really enjoyed it. I threw myself into the deep end and I thought, you know what, why not? I've got nothing to lose. I'm going to go for the experience. And if I come out with anything more than that, I'll be happy.
How would you encourage more women to get involved in jiu-jitsu?
I would just, it's all, for me, I found like the self-defense when you're learning about it in GB1 classes, that for me, I've found really valuable. And like, I've gone home and I'm like, hey, mum, guess what I've learned how to do today? And it is what Catherine said with regards to the leverage, regardless of how tall or how big you are, you can actually, if you do it properly and you learn how to do it, you'd be surprised how you can actually defend yourself and quite quickly as well. So I would definitely encourage people to come down, even if it is just for the self-defense. And also as well, it's a nice team down there. When I joined, I never felt like I was the newbie because everybody was really nice. And it's a really nice group to be a part of as well.
Brilliant. And Catherine and Lucy, you guys have been in the sport for between like 3 to 4 years. So what are your aims going into this competition?
I am really strict with myself about not having expectations when I go into a competition. I compete because I enjoy rolling and I enjoy rolling with different people.
When you say rolling.
So that would be the term that we would use for the sort of grappling match or the rounds that we do. So my expectations are just to go in and try and get as many fights as possible, really.
My hope is I've done a bit of competing. I'm a bit too nervous, I think, at the minute for it. I get stage fright and I'm not quite getting used to training differently because I've had a knee injury and all sorts, so it makes me a bit nervous, but I'm hoping to go and support them from a coaching perspective because at times there can be four or five people's matches going on at once. So just making sure that everyone's got someone on the sideline, sort of helping them through it, giving them support. That's much more my cup of tea.
Louise Gawne, Catherine Moore and Lucy Southwood there. And if you'd like to give Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu a try, you can find details on how to get involved on our sports page.
Manx Radio Sport.
Now, would you consider fighting for your community? What if I told you it was for charity? Would that make a difference? White Collar Warriors will take locals who haven't boxed before and train them up over 5 weeks to compete in front of a crowd. Now, the aim is to put on 2 to 3 small shows a year, each in aid of a different charity. But here to tell you more is one of the event organisers, Dewan Thomas.
It was a concept that came into England from America in the 90s, and originally seen it when I was down in London. And I met the organiser back in the 90s, Alan Lacey, who brought it in. And it was kind of a new thing in the city at the time for people who just wanted to do some frill sports and stuff. And that was how the concepts originally started. So quite a few years later, I took one of the first white collar boxers from the island. Well, it was Paul Beckett, who's one of our legal eagles over here. And he went down doing white collar boxing. So we went down doing that. So, yeah, the concept has developed now a lot among the charity organisations for raising money for charity and stuff. And that's kind of the concept that we want to go down.
You have previously worked with Thriller in the Villa. Is it kind of similar to that?
Yeah. I spent a couple of years, first 2 years, helping Chris Mooney with the Thriller in the Villa and the organisation for that. So, yeah, it's a similar type of thing. The basis of it is that we want to do is, at the moment, you know, there's quite a lot of sports people who can't get off the island and do sport, and also people who want to do some fundraising for charity. So the concept is like a couple of small shows, raise a few thousand quid for charities over here, and keep it small. There's a lot of charities needing stuff at the moment, mental health and stuff like that. So it's kind of, you know, gets people in the ring, want to do a bit of a challenge and raise that money as well.
And you've talked about using these shows to help raise awareness of mental health. How do you plan on doing that?
Well, it ticks boxes in many ways, to be honest. I mean, for mental health issues alone, just being in the gym is good for, you know, anyone who's got mental health issues. And you know, these lockdowns and stuff has not done anyone any favours recently, as a lot of people struggling, both male and female. And, of course, just on a tag note to that, you know, the show's open to male and females, anyone who wants to, you know, compete in the show. So it's good for that. And it's also anyone who's, you know, who feels as though they want to help other people with their issues with mental health. And you know, there's a few charities here now that are doing that. So, it's just an all-around community-spirited thing. That's what we want to do.
And just finally, for those new boxers that are really keen to try it out, what would your words of wisdom to them be?
Well, keep your hands up.
Event organiser Dewan Thomas there. And the first event is due to take place at Ramsey's Masonic Hall on the 30th of this month. Information on how to get involved or how to buy tickets can be found at manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Sport.
So, I hate to break it to you, but the TT is cancelled, if you didn't already know. However, the TT may be off, but the course itself will be back in action for a charity event this month. So the biking enthusiasts among you listeners are being invited to take part in 100 laps in 100 hours to raise money for new riders and also to raise money for the charity Heroes on the Water. Now, the event originally started back in 2019 and there are hopes for it to become annual if another worldwide pandemic doesn't get in the way. Here's organisers Dave Redmayne and Steve Marsh to tell you a little bit more.
There's lots of events where people all go out in a mob and everyone sits at 5 miles an hour for the whole lap and people don't enjoy the TT course. So we thought we'd do an event where we'd send people off. It's not a classic relay where everyone has to arrive before the next lot goes. It's we release a team this time of four riders and anyone else they want to invite on top of that every hour on the hour for 100 hours. And they go as fast or as slow as they want. The 2019 one, we had one guy, he was on a tour from Australia on an Australian bike. And he turned up and he said, I've heard about this since I've been on the island. What can I do? Where can I start? and we started him off on the next lap with he was on Old Laverda, and we started him off with a bunch of racing boys, and they all disappeared off to the first bit, and then they slowed down, let him catch up again, and then they insisted on following him over the mountain because he just sounded so awesome. So there's just such a random group of people, and they're all enjoying it.
Who specifically can take part? Is there a certain criteria for people who would like to get involved?
No, just members of the public. Anybody's welcome, as long as you've got a road licence.
How would I get involved if I don't have a bike licence?
Well, we have in place, if you're on the island without a bike licence, we can do a proxy lap for you if you don't want to come out with us, or we have a selection of bigger bikes with top boxes and panniers, so you're nice and safe, and we can take you around, cruise you around for a lap. Or even if you're in on the big island, you can message in, sponsor us, and then do the 37 and 3/4 miles on the big island, and we'll count that down as a lap for us as well.
And you mentioned this is a charity event, so can you give me the reasons why you've chosen to do it for that specific charity?
We're going to do three main sponsors this year to donate to. Slightly weird one. We've obviously got the Billy Redmayne Memorial Fund, because that supports riders actually getting out, starting the Manx, getting them into that loop without having to run on a shoestring budget. So the three of us are all screwed ears for the TT and the Manx, and giving someone that extra £400, £500, £600 will then mean they don't have to scrimp anything safety wise. And in some cases, it means they can eat when they're here as well, which is a different option that some of them have. They're like, we've got enough money for fuel, we've got enough money for everything else, just can't eat for 2 weeks.
Hopefully you won't need it, but do you have any contingency plans in place for weather?
Wear waterproofs.
Yes.
Good advice. Organisers Dave Redmayne and Steve Marsh there, along with an absolute tune that they have chosen for their official event song. More information, as always, can be found at manxradio.com on our sports page.
Manx Radio Sport.
In athletics, Manx javelin thrower Joe Harris has described his happiness after securing a silver medal at the British Athletics Championships last weekend. The 24-year-old produced his best throw in three seasons at 72.65 metres in a performance which put him above the Commonwealth Games standard of 70 metres. He only missed out on the gold medal by 1 centimetre on the last throw. He spoke to Rob Pritchard about how the event unfolded.
I opened up with a 68, which was a season best. I mean, I'd had a 68 in my first comp, but it was a season best in terms of the accurate distance. But yeah, I thought that was a good first throw. I thought if I could build off that and push forward throughout the competition, I could do well. But then it just went a bit further and a bit further. And then there was a long wait between round 3 and 4 because they switched the order. So it was almost like I missed a whole throw in terms of time. And then I gathered my thoughts again. Greg, who I used to train with, Greg Miller, he went ahead, and that kind of fired me up, and I got going again. And yeah, it was good.
A fantastic performance, and you came so incredibly close to actually taking the top spot. Was it quite an exciting tussle for that top spot? Did you enjoy it? Was it quite nerve-wracking?
Yeah, so it was. I thought I'd had it, to be honest, going into the final round, because as the throwers go down, it goes in like reverse order. So it goes from in the competition, the person who's thrown the least distance, smallest distance, the largest distance. And obviously the pressure coming down, it goes into like bronze position, then it goes into who's in silver medal contention. Then obviously Dan is second to last throw of the competition. He threw the distance, and I looked at the distance and I couldn't see it straight away. It was a 6, and I thought it looked like another 6 next to it, and I saw the 72, and then I was like, oh. So then I thought, all right, time to go. But obviously it was too late. I'd obviously lost focus, but I gave it a good shot and I came away with a good result for the day.
A big congratulations to Joe Harris. Speaking to Manx Radio's Rob Pritchard there. Moving on to archery now, and the power couple that are Leslie and Roger Slight have secured further archery medals in their latest two-day shoot in the UK. Both are representing Bowdoin Vannin Field Archery Club in a series of off-island National Field Archery Association competitions. Their latest outing was at the Cumbria Challenge in Kendal in the Lake District in the traditional bow hunter class. Leslie took home the silver medal in the ladies' class with a score of 916, whilst Roger claimed the bronze in the men's category, scoring 942. Their latest performances are off the back of competing at Dolphin Home Arches near Lancaster the previous weekend. Their there, Leslie took home gold with a score of 498 in the ladies' section, and Roger finished fourth in the men's with 596. And how could we go through Friday Sport Preview without mentioning the one, the only, the Manx missile?
It's going to be Philipson versus Cavendish. Once again, Cavendish now opening up the sprint. Cavendish pushing for the line. Buoni threatening. Cavendish holding off Philipson at the double. Cavendish does it again. And he makes it look so simple. Unbeaten, the king of Châteauroux. He has done it. Again.
Yesterday, the Manx cyclist won his second stage at this year's Tour de France. The De Koninck Quickstep rider sprinted to victory on stage 6 of the race, extending his lead in the green jersey. And it means he now has 32 wins at the Tour de France in his career. And that's just 2 behind all-time leader Eddy Merckx. Here he is chatting to ITV4 in a slight state of disbelief after his race.
Take us through those moments.
It's been 10 years since I last won here. You know, pretty special.
Mark, it's your 32nd victory. You know what my next question is going to be. Are you thinking
about
that?
Don't say the name, don't say the name.
I didn't say it.
I'm not thinking about anything. Again, I've just won a stage of the Tour de France. If that was my first stage, if that was my 32nd stage, I'd just won a stage of the Tour. And that's what people work their whole lives for, you know. Yeah. I'm very, very happy. That's all. If I'm good enough to win 50 more, I'm good enough to win 50. If I'm good enough to never win again here, so be it. I'm not good enough to win again here. It's the Tour de France.
Today, Mark Cavendish has increased his lead in the green jersey points competition after stage 7 of the Tour de France. He completed the stage, which is the longest of this year's event, 20 places ahead of the final finisher. Tomorrow, the Tour enters the first of the official mountain stages. And with that, that's all for today's Friday Sport Preview. Thank you very much for having me on. It's always a pleasure being in your company. We're taking a short break from Saturday Sport Classified, but don't worry, I will be back with you next Friday to go through all your sporting endeavours over the week. Until then, though, have a really lovely weekend. And as always, if there's a sporting event or a sport that you do and you don't think it's getting mentioned enough, do get in touch. I would love to hear from you. Just email newsroom@manxradio.com and I will get back to you. So have a great week and good luck in all your sporting endeavours, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye for now.